All of the churches joined together for a joint charge conference up at the United Methodist Church in Palm Beach, in West Palm Beach. We were taken out of that rotation with them because that was the first year that I was approved for full-time pastor here. So Gary Spencer, our district superintendent, wanted to come and have that special charge conference with just us. But this year, we are required to be a part of that joint charge conference. And it's going to be a time of worship and celebration. It's going to have a little bit of business in that as well, because the things will already have been approved, and pastor's salary, and all those things that you normally would vote on at charge conference will already have taken place, but it will officially be put into the record next Sunday at 4 o'clock. The entire congregation is, of course, invited to do that. So I would encourage you, if you're able, to be at the United Methodist Church in Palm Beach. It's on Brandywine, and we can get you, I believe it might even be in your bulletin. Look at your bulletin there for the address. And I would encourage you all to come out and be a part of that service. It's going to be a great time of fellowship. I think they're even going to have some snacks afterwards, so you will get fed in some way or good method. So there will be food involved afterwards. But I would encourage you to be a part of that and to come out and join and be in that part of the business end of your church. This is your church, remember. So I would encourage you all to come and be a part of that. I am strongly hoping that the leadership council will be there to be able to have a voting quorum there, and that we can take care of our church business and get things taken care of next Sunday. So put that on your calendar next Sunday at 4 o'clock at UMCPD up on Brandywine. It's off Palm Beach Lakes. So I would encourage you all to come out and be a part of that. We're going to have a great time of fellowship. And the idea behind these joint charge conferences is to get to know some of the churches here in our community, that the ones that I personally am involved in ministry with these other pastors, so it's a way for us to get to know one another a little better. So that's the idea behind Gary Spencer's, our district superintendent's, reasoning behind doing these joint charge conferences as well. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you. visions. Pour out your spirit on all flesh. For we long to feel your presence in the upheaval of our lives. Show your forewarning in the heavens and your signs on the earth and the seas, that all may know how to humble themselves and to dwell within your courts, living in peace and harmony with one another. Bless our time together this morning, awesome God. Amen.
Away in the desert and streams, in the wasteland.
I bet you got to do to tune up your room, to keep your room nice. Do you share the things you love with others? Your games and your toys and your things that you have? Do you share those with others? Do you share? Oh, but he doesn't? Oh, okay. Boy, you better be good because he's going to rat you out, right? Do you hold the door open for people when you go through the door? That's pretty easy to do, isn't it? Do you never talk about your friends behind their back? We got some work to do down on this end of the line. We all have some work to do. Well, the only reason I bring all those things up, because those are like, you ever use building blocks, those little square blocks? Say if each one of those things that I just mentioned, that we were to put a block and then put another block on top of that, and if we did all these things, how tall would that stack of blocks be? It'd be really tall. Do you think it'd stand up all by itself? It's going to fall over here. That's what happens if we do all of these things and we're looking for recognition to make ourselves look good for doing those things. That's like stacking all those blocks up, and eventually you're just going to fall over, right? But if we do all those things with the right heart and the right attitude, and we're not always looking to make ourselves look good because we're doing all the right things. Does that make sense? If we just sort of do it on our own and we kind of keep it to ourselves and others see that in us, God's going to give us the reward for being faithful to Him, isn't He? So we don't want to do those things just to be recognized for them, do we? When we come to church, it's just not so that someone sitting next to us sees us there and says, look, they come to church every Sunday. They must be good people. But anybody can come to church, can't they? When we come to be changed and let God work in our lives. So that's what I want you to think about today when you leave here, is that when we stack all those good things up that we do, we get a big pile, and then it can just fall over if we're not doing it for the right reasons, right? Good, good. Let's have a word of prayer, and you can go to Sunday school, those of you that are going to go to Sunday school. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this lesson this morning. Father, when you've called us to do things for others, and do good things, read our Bible, go to church, let us do them for the right reasons, and just not for the recognition that others may see us as something more than we actually are. So, Father, I just pray a blessing upon these young people today. Let them feel your presence in their life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, guys. It's awesome having you here. Some of you are going to stay for church. Some of you are going to go to Sunday school. Miss Jane, I think, is going to take you over to Sunday school, so follow Miss Jane, all right? Glad you guys are here today. These young folks are sort of Calvary transplants. They attended Calvary. They're the Jarvis's grandchildren, right by them. Hilton over there, that's some grandchildren of theirs. So we are so glad that you've come and joined us in church. Welcome. And thanks for bringing your children. We like children. So thank you all very much for being here. It's a time in our service when you go to the Lord in prayer. We've got some prayer requests come up this week. We have had some sorrowful moments in the life of our church this week. And just a lot of families that are grieving, lost loved ones. Let me hear these names this morning, those that we're lifting up, especially this morning, and those that you bring on your heart, of course, that have gone unspoken. It's nice to see Katie Soto in church this morning. Hi, Katie. Glad you're with us. She was in JFK for some testing, so we're glad that she's back out as well. Marie Gervis is still recovering from a fall. I understand she's really not bouncing back as well as we had hoped, so keep Marie Gervis in your prayers. Mary Ann Deal was with us yesterday for the brunch. It was great seeing her. But apparently she needs a lot of time to get ready in the morning, so she can't quite quite make it for church, but we continue to lift Mary Ann up and all of you as well. Scott said we continue to pray for him. That's Mo Walsh's brother. He's had brain surgery and still battling an infection. So keep Scott in your prayers as well. Larry Kunzman, you see Larry's not with us this morning. He's continuing to have hip and leg problems. And now he's developing some sort of a problem with that leg that he had injured in the accident. So Larry is scheduled to see a doctor tomorrow. But he's really having some really bad problems with that leg that was injured. John Giles as well. John, we mentioned last week, had broken his arm. And I think they're up in the Carolinas on vacation, so it's not slowing him down. Let's continue to pray for John Giles and his broken arm. Sean Friend, we have a praise for Sean. He went back for a follow-up checkup. You know, he'd been dealing with a lot of blood clots in his legs, and they did scans on him, and he seems to be completely healed of that. So we're proclaiming that as a great story this morning. Sean Friend continues to get better as well. Karen Snyder, we continue to lift her up and her family as well. Her husband David, some diabetic complications as well. Lisa Parkerson, niece of Jane Harden, for health issues as well, and her brother Tom as well, looking for a new job. So lift Lisa and Tom up this morning as well. Continue to lift up Kathy Chandler as she continues to heal from her surgery as well. Thomas Caldwell and Brenda Rose Naylor and John's family. We definitely are lifting up the Russell family and Gina McDonald. We've been praying for Gina for quite some time for her healing from cancer. She got started having some real severe symptoms last Thursday, I believe it was, and passed away this Friday. So we're lifting up the Russell family, George, and Barbara, and Robin, and just that whole family as they grieve now the loss of Jean, and their daughter and sister as well. But you had three children as well. I think 10, 13, and 19, so really had some young children. Just keep that family in your prayers as well. She had passed away. Evelyn Garrett's mother had passed away as well. We went up for her service on Friday. So keep the Garrett family as well as their extended family together for Evelyn and her family. Her mother passed away this week as well. Hope I'm not missing anyone this morning. We've had a long list, and some of our friends, we lost a young man, 37 years old, a friend of ours as well, in a road rage incident. I mentioned that last week, but Paul Peterman and his family. One more, and I can't put my finger on it. I know we bring a lot with us when we come to church, things that need to go before the cross. So would you bow your heads and pray with me this morning as we go to the Lord. Gracious and loving God, what an awesome day you have given us. We cannot cut short our thanksgiving and praise for such a beautiful day with the blue sky and just the feeling of your presence here this morning with us. Father God, we come with heavy hearts this morning as well as we glorify in your beauty and just remember the great things that you do for us each day. We also remember that life brings us sorrow. And in that sorrow is hope. And these loved ones that I've mentioned today, they were all great witnesses of their faith. Father, each one of them, in their own special way, touched others around them. They brought a special sense of God working in their lives. And they were willing to share God with others. So Father, today I pray for all the grieving families that are associated with our church that somehow have a connection to each one of us. Father, today we grieve, but we also celebrate. Father, the passing of loved ones means that they are gone from our presence, but now the reward is in your presence. So as we grieve for one another left behind, praying and hoping and knowing and believing that someday we will be rejoined. Father, I lift up these families today that are mourning the loss of a loved one. Father, as well, there are those of us left behind, still dealing with the ailments and the frailties of life. Father, disease and illness and sickness, they plague the world. And we move from one incident into the next, sometimes it seems. But on that journey, you are with us. Father, I pray today that our faith could be strengthened and bolded. And that we could become empowered to share the good news of Jesus with someone else, even in the midst of our own crisis. So, Father, today as we pray for those we love and care about, and even for those we may not know so well, we know that we rest safely within your arms. Father, today I lift up our country, our nation. As positions of leadership are about to change, Father, I pray your divine guidance. I pray for people seeking leadership roles would seek the discernment of God. Father, I pray that our nation will always be a nation that believes in a Savior, that believes in a way of life that allows everyone to be equal and free, that we would be united as a church and as a people of God. So, Father, today our needs are many. Today, Lord, we believe and trust in you that you will lead us through every day of our life, and that each day we recognize you as our Savior. We will be granted that peace. So, Father, I ask your blessing on us today as we prepare now for worship. I pray that your words would flow through me today. We'll be talking about those that have gone on before us. And have we kept the faith? So, Father, be with us today. Strengthen us, encourage us, give us hope for tomorrow. Let us now pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
to bring others to the knowledge of this loving God who walks with us Not only when we're on the mountaintop, but especially walks with us when we are in the lowest of valleys and hurting so bad. Let us now offer our tithes and offerings to the one true God. Would the ushers please come forward to receive our offering?
Thank you.
Well, I must be honest with you this week. Been a couple of weeks out of the pulpit. And Friday rolls around, and I'm like, what did I forget to do this week? Do you think they're actually expecting a sermon from me this week? Well, I threw a little something together for you last night. I think it'll be fine. That's not entirely true. I put these messages together for about a 3 or 4 month period of time, so I've had time to mull these over, and the Harder's daughter is in town. She's a Methodist pastor in Virginia, right, Linda? Yes. We had a brief discussion this morning about how a lot of times we can put months of preparation into a message. You've heard me say that before. I get up here before you and God says, no, not today. We're going to talk about this today. So really, the preparation, I don't think, always has a lot to determine how the message is going to turn out, right? I think you'll agree with me on that. It doesn't always play out that way. But you know what? What does strike a chord this week is we're going to talk about that great cloud of witnesses, our scriptures from 2 Timothy. We're going to be talking a little bit about Hebrews. We've lost some people near and dear to our hearts this week, and we often talk about those cloud, that cloud of witnesses that's always there. We feel their presence. And a lot of times we say that they're just watching over us. But you know what? They've left behind something that we are to do. Their legacy and their witness is to live on through each one of us that have known them and loved them and care for them. So they've left something behind for us to do. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Our scripture today comes from 2 Timothy. We've been in this letter from Paul for a few weeks now. But I want you to hear these stories with new ears today. So please stand, if you would, for the reading of the gospel this morning from 2 Timothy in chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and then 16 through 18 as well. I'm already being poured out like a sacrifice to God, and the time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. At last, the champion's wreath that is awarded for righteousness is waiting for me. The Lord, who is the righteous judge, is going to give it to me on that day. He's giving it not only to me, but also to all those who have set their heart on waiting for his appearance. No one took my side at my first court hearing. Everyone deserted me. I hope that God doesn't hold it against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that the entire message would be preached through me, and so all the nations could hear. I was also rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil action and will save you for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and always. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, I pray that these words ring true in our lives. That as we work towards the finish line, as we strive, as we run, as we stumble, as we fall towards the finish line, that we can say we have run the good race. So, Father, please add your blessing to these words today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Don't you just love stories about people that never give up? We don't really like to hear about people that say, oh, I'm going to give up, I'm not going to do that. It's too hard. We've talked about it before. Sometimes being a Christian is kind of too hard, isn't it? Doing the right thing is usually not the easy thing, is it? Stories of those who keep going even when the going gets tough. They're a great source of inspiration. We've all got those saints in our minds, in our memories. Some of your families this week have lost people that represent that to your families. We hear story after story of the strong Christian walk that led people through suffering, through anguish, through turmoil in their lives, and they were strong to the end. But when we hear of people who have started their Christian walk and things start going a little south, they say, "See, I knew there wasn't any God. Look what's happened to me. If there was a God, this would have never happened." I said we're going to look at Hebrews a little bit. Hebrews 12, you know the story well. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders us. We're going to talk a little bit about running a race. Whoever has watched the marathon race, sure, we've seen the Olympics, we've seen runners run. Have you ever seen, and this is, not that I've looked closely, but you actually see what marathon runners wear? Some of those folks wear some pretty skimpy attire, don't they? Their shoes, you can put them in their hands, and you can barely feel the weight of even their shoes. They've gotten rid of everything that weighs them down. Wouldn't it be, I think it'd be a hilarious marathon race if we made them carry 3 suitcases. That would probably be more fun, wouldn't it? But that's not the point. As Paul speaks in Hebrews and here in 2 Timothy, if we're to run the race, we've got to get rid of all that stuff that burdens us. What burdens us? Our sinful nature? The things we carry along in our lives that we can do well without. This is what Paul is talking about with Timothy. Our scripture compares the Christian life to a foot race. I'm going to try to go through some Greek translation for you this morning. Show me some grace. In the Greek, the word translated for race in this passage is the Greek word agon, A-G-O-N, from which we get the word agonize. So what Paul is referring to here is agony. This race is hard. We find ourselves burdened with life. Not just the burden of life, but the burden of things we pile on ourselves. Our sinfulness. I came across this cute story. You're going to appreciate this, I think. There was 2 gas company servicemen who were servicing gas meters in the neighborhood, and they were going around the neighborhood, and they come to the last house of the day. They had to go down a long alley, so they parked their truck out on the street, and the supervisor and the worker, they walked down the alley to the last house. They parked their truck. They walked in casually. The woman of the house was looking out her kitchen window. She saw the 2 men go up to her gas meter, and they're looking it over and do their business. And then they step back and they talk to one another, and they take off at a dead run down the alley back to their truck. As they're running, they hear someone huffing and puffing behind them. They get to the truck, they turn around, and here's the lady. They're like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" She says, "I don't know, but I saw 2 men from the gas company come up to my gas meter and look at it, and then turn around and run for their truck. I knew it must be something serious, so I ran too." The supervisor had challenged his young co-worker, to a foot race back to the truck. They end up the day. The woman saw them 2 running, and she bursts out of her house and chases them back in their truck. And they're like, "What's going on, lady? You lost it." She says, "I don't know. I saw someone running, and it must be serious." She didn't know why she was running. She just knew it looked like she better run. It looked serious. How many of us run, and we don't know why we're running? We get to the truck with the two servicemen, and they turn around and ask us, "What are you doing? Have you lost your mind?" Do we always run for the right reason? Any tail chasers in the crowd? You ever had a dog that would chase their tail? We've had silly dogs that would do that until they keeled over. Why do we do that? Perseverance. This race we're running is a race of perseverance. How many of you like perseverance? The scripture's clear about it. Don't give up. Hang in there. Perseverance. Hupomone. Hupomone. You know what that means? I don't either. Perseverance. It means in Greek. Where's Don Morphesis this morning? He can help me with some of these Greek words. Don, not here today. See, I needed him. In Greek, that means perseverance. It's a steady determination to keep going. Anyone know anyone that's ever given up? I'll tell a family story since only my wife is here today. My brother, you know, we've been praying for my nephew that's been a drug addict for many, many, many years, we come to find out. And I've been trying to get him help. And my brother, his dad, has sort of led him to believe that treatment is hopeless. They've known so many people that try treatment and they end up dying anyway. So I had to have a stern conversation with my brother as I'm trying to help his son, tell him that it's not hopeless to try to get help. And my brother has led him to believe that treatment business is hopeless. It's useless. I told my brother, "You only come with a message of hopelessness. Thanks a lot. My job is to come with a message of hope. There's always hope." So even after some detox, I think my nephew made a bad choice. He's not seeking further help. He's gone to Texas to work on a ranch for 6 months in the middle of nowhere. If he takes that same mindset out there, he's hopeless. Folks, we've got to know it's not hopeless. We've got to know there's hope. We have to be a people of hope. Perseverance. Folks, it's time to run. Some of you may be out of shape spiritually. You feel that sitting here today? I'm a little out of shape. I'm running this spiritual race and I'm out of breath already. You've got to get in shape. Paul's telling us, "I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And not just for me alone. Paul is telling us that crown of righteousness is not just for Paul. It's for all of us. We've got to keep running. It's time to run. It's not time to chase after things that are meaningless. It's time to chase after things of God. To chase after Jesus. You know, I hate this. You know, I tell people don't pray for patience anymore. Son of a gun, God answers that all the time. He makes us wait. Got examples in the Bible. Good old Noah. Remember Noah's story? It's mentioned mentioned in Hebrews 11. He spent 120 years building this ark. Good grief, perseverance. Now, patience is not one of my virtues. Right, Nancy? I don't like to be patient. I'm a man of action. And I try not to chase after gas meter men back in the truck. I try to chase after the good things. We're given many, many examples in the Bible. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Samson, David. Those are all people that finished the race with exuberance. That cloud of witnesses, and many of us experienced this recently. We've got some new people up there in the clouds. You know, the Greek word translated witnesses in English means martyr. We hear about martyrdom today, don't we? How some religious sects thinks that martyrdom is the way to go. Christians have been martyred for their faith. But as martyrs, we are witnesses to God's grace in our lives. The martyrs in my life that I know are up there in the clouds looking down on me, my dad. I miss my dad. The Miami Heat would get ready to start the season, and me and my dad used to watch the Miami Heat basketball games together. And I often think I'd just like to watch a ball game with my dad. He had a great sister, my Aunt Mabel. And you talk about the salt of the earth, and she could cook any kind of good grub you can imagine. My Aunt Mabel and Uncle Arnold, we'd go trout fishing on opening day of trout season and catch a whole big basket of fish. And he would come home and just dump the fish in the kitchen sink and say, "Here's what's for lunch." Without any conflict in her voice, she would clean the fish and fry them up for dinner. Boy, they were good. My Aunt Mabel is one of those witnesses. My mother had an Aunt Myrtle. You know, we prayed for her. She just passed away a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago. She was like 94 years old. And she took in people off the street. She took care of handicapped people in her home. Her whole life, she took care of others. She's joined that cloud of witnesses. The man that I, as a teenager, changed my life. Alden Hawes, you remember me talking about Alden. I'm amazed at how Alden preached to me and everything we spoke about. And I didn't know it. He was the type of Christian believer that could speak to you about faith and God and trust, and at the end of the day, you had no idea that's what he was talking about. But looking back on it, you've seen exactly what he's talking about. And what a witness for God he was.
Message is received from +1 205 881 0403.
God's leaving a message. My first wife, Nancy, who passed away. That's right, I said my first wife, Nancy. My second wife, Nancy. God said, "You're not that bright. I'm going to give you someone with the same name." So you don't have that to worry about. She's why I'm in ministry. Some of you probably know and have heard of many times. Some of you haven't. My first wife passed away of a brain tumor. A 5.5 year ordeal that led me to ministry. You think God doesn't have patience with us? He used that experience to change my life and to let me know that, hey, I think you ought to be in ministry. I didn't say I listened right, we made that up. That 7 years in the belly of a fish were years not well spent. Folks, we're in a marathon race and it's called life. So why do we want to carry all these extra burdens along with us? Shed the things in your life that slow you down. We're running a marathon. Don't carry your luggage. Get rid of those things in your life that slow you down, that are sinful. Things that take us away from our relationship with God. What are some of those things that take us away? Is it jealousy? Is it envy? Is it a critical spirit? Do you know people that are critical of everything? They can't see the good in anything. Everything presents itself as a problem to be figured out. Life is not meant to be that way. Everything that comes to us is not presented to us in the form of a problem. God loves us too much for that. So when our blessings are presented to us, don't turn them into a problem. Something to straighten out. Is it hatred? Our world today seems full of hatred, doesn't it? That's not right. How can we love someone if we have to first figure out why we don't hate them? Maybe I can find something to hate them about. Let's just start out loving them. Is it our pride? Whatever it is, let's get rid of it. Let's leave it by the side of the road. We're going to find a good story I had here to finish up with today. Alexander the Great. Anybody remember him? Anyone go to school with Alexander? You're not quite that old, are you? Well, as they were conquesting about the world, Alexander the Great and his army was advancing on Persia. At one critical point, it seemed they were defeated. They didn't have the energy to go on. Alexander looked at his troops and he figured out what the problem was. They had been so successful in their raiding and pillaging and plundering that they were carrying all this treasure that they had gathered up. They were spending all of their time carrying the triumphs of war along with them, and it was wearing them down. Alexander called for his troops to put everything in a pile. They were going to burn it. Of course, the troops, they revolted against that. That's crazy. We fought for this, we burned it. He made them pile their goods up and set it on fire. When they were done, they marched off with new vim and vigor. And he said, look, they march like a new army because they're not carrying all that stuff with them. Now, I'm not telling you to go home and burn your house down to the folks. I better clarify that here. I know some of you would probably run home this afternoon and pile everything up and burn it. If you're carrying it around on your back every day, you should do that. And that's the moral of this story. We can't carry the riches of our plunder with us and expect to be able to run the race. I'm not much of a runner, but I'm surely not much of a runner carrying things. So as we take the things out of our lives that slow us down, when the gun sounds, we start running. We've got to run with purpose. We've got to run with an idea that we have something to gain at the finish line. We don't give up before we get there. The race is not over. Folks, there's been some that have gone on before us. We love them, we miss them, we care for them. Live by their witness, by their faith. We need to go out of this life with others cheering us on and leaving behind something for them to run to. They need to know that at the finish line, there's a Savior. We've got to discard some junk out of our lives. You don't carry your burdens the way you did. Let's pray. Gracious God, what an awesome God you are. Father, as Paul has spoken to us today through this scripture, he is telling us to put down our burdens, to be fleet of foot in our faith. So, Father, bless us today as we leave this place. And if we need to, this altar is open today, as always. Come and leave those things you can shed to lighten your load. Leave them at the altar today. Father, we love you. We know that you relieve us of our burdens. Let us as well run the good race. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 709, come. Let us join our friends above. Please stand as we sing our closing hymn today. receive this benediction, Holy God, as we leave this place, let our feet have wings. Let us shed the burdens of everyday life that weigh us down. Father, go with us now from this place and bless us forever. Amen. Amen.